Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It was a big table. It was a big table. And I was like,
and their spouse or just them?
Huh?
And their spouse?
No. Well, I didn't even talk to them, so I don't know whether you know, they might have gotten, they might have observed from afar.
Okay.
You know, they might have been like looking down the end of the table and going, what an asshole. But that their actual wedding took place Thursday at the Bel Air estate of Paris's late grandfather, Baron Hilton.
Yeah, I eyeballed this estate, Mike, and the wedding. Very impressive.
Mike, Baron Hilton said, it was a great wedding.
Well, all the champagne glasses. Well, the champagne. And then Lancelot Link went into the wedding going, well, I want to see Kim Kardashian, Mata. And then Mata Hari said,
what are we going to eat now, Lancelot?
I would have loved to be the guy that has a few cocktails. He goes, you were so funny. Yeah, it was so exciting. Yeah. And I am to a point.
Yes.
But then I get to the turn. The turn is horrible.
Yeah.
The turn is, and here's the thing about my turn, all right? And first of all, it doesn't happen nearly as much. And that's why, because it had been months since I'd
ever since you got those air brakes.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Falmouth, Jamaica. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Falmouth in Maine would be pronounced that way. There. Randolph, Utah. Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. I like that. Ragged Point, California. The Isle of Capri in Italy. And Bastogne.
Yes.
Belgium. Big World War II area. The Battle of Bastogne. Cold, if I remember correctly.
A guy
I was fighting in that war.
A guy who wrote that in is actually traveling different World War II sites and the Battle of the Bulge and all of those things. And that was a site that was sent to us. So I wish him safe travels. Very cool.
That would be a trip my son would do. That would be a trip my son would enjoy thoroughly because he still doesn't realize the horrors of war. Anyway, happy positive Monday for you.
Good night.
Try to keep it. Good night, everybody. Happy day, everybody. Hey, listen, before we get anything out of the way here, we want to let you know about our fruitcake futures, okay? Because this is an exciting time, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What you eating?
What you making?
Right. Come on. Work those fingers out. Let's get going.
Here we go.
Here we go. Do you have music? The fruitcake music?
Oh, you like this?
Hi, Monday. There it is. So we are still selling our fruitcakes, the 2021 TMOS Fruitcake Futures. Rob, you're getting ready rather shortly to go into the Keebler Elf.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Brush.
Absolutely. We've got everything in order. And, Mike, I actually wrote myself a small note. See, in little tiny letters, I don't know if you can make it out, but the fruitcake ordering deadline is midnight on Friday, November 26, 2021, Black Friday.
That is the deadline if you want a fruitcake, and are we able to get them to people before Christmas if they order by Friday?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
No guarantees.
There are no guarantees because of the supply chain, but we're going to, you know, if you want to have a really good, is that true
it's
or not?
First in, first out.
FIFO.
Yes.
So we can't because no one can.
USPS has always been great to us.
They've been amazing.
So you think there's an overwhelmingly good chance if you buy the fruitcake by Friday,
if you
Friday,
get in
Black
by Friday,
Friday,
we'll get it to you by the hall. I remember last year we moved to heaven and earth. We FedExed someone a fruitcake.
Yeah, we had them all
That's
in the
exciting.
Mail. We will have them in the mail in time. So do it.
But acts of God.
Tell me about it.
Your heart will be even happier knowing that you supported your favorite podcast. Whether you order the deluxe or the super premium package, you'll rest easy knowing you helped us out with our annual fundraiser. And every bite will be perfect because Rob wouldn't have it any other way. Act now because time is limited. Buy now, save or later. Deadline, midnight Black Friday. That's the
done
deadline for TMOS Fruitcake Futures. You go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner. It's right there to get your fruitcake if you've never had it. And as
this
I said,
big push, people, big push.
by 30, and we'll have a nice Christmas discussion. I'll call you Christmas Eve, and chat with you.
Now it's on Christmas Eve that you're going
to call? If you buy 30 and you can document that, well, you guys are the business people.
We can document.
How do we validate that they purchased 30?
Well, there's something called 30. Data, well, and it's a digital transaction. Just run a report.
But I can see the call coming in probably about 11:20 Eastern Time PM. Listen. I'm going to get to midnight mass.
You're making a horrible assumption that I will be ossified on Christmas Eve,
I'm going with the standard notion of people having a few belts before midnight mass.
When do you start drinking on Christmas?
When did I become labeled with drinking?
We're more of a Christmas morning drinking family.
We don't really drink that much because my brother and sister are a bunch of rubes.
I don't drink like I used to. It's sad. I can't handle it anymore.
Let's be honest here.
Okay, absolutely.
My brother-in-law will be the first to start having maybe two or three fingers of whatever cocktail costs $1,000 that he has a bottle of. And then I will...
Something in a blue label?
Then I will sip some of it and realize I'm not manly enough or refined enough for it. And then I'll say, do you have any Jack Daniels? He said, oh, no. And then I'll stop drinking.
Yeah.
But that happens on Christmas Eve, probably around, because we have a midnight dinner, around 10:30 p.m.
Do you go to church?
Not anymore, Mike. Not anymore.
Don't you
but
do
you
the
still
meal
eat
of
at midnight?
The seven fishes?
Yeah. Still eat at midnight. Still,
that's Italian.
Still open up the presents at midnight. Still do the whole midnight bit.
Okay. Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And then everybody sleeps in on Christmas morning?
Yeah. Then we sleep in, and then the kids wake up, and they go and open the other half of their presents.
Okay, that's kind of nice. That's a nice
it's
little.
It's fun. It's like two Christmases in one.
Family tradition. Well, I feel as though the holidays are different this year. I feel as though we are able to lay our guard down a little bit and celebrate more. So I'm actually super jacked about. Well, my Christmas is going to be Thanksgiving because the kids are coming in. My daughter Elizabeth and her beau will be in town Saturday. My son is out of his mind.
I believe
my oldest gets in Tuesday or Wednesday next week. And then they're all here through the Thanksgiving holiday.
I believe if you are lucky enough to have family, and you weren't able to be with them last year, this is going to be a big one.
Oh, it's huge.
I can't even tell you when the last time I had every daughter under the same roof. It was my 60th birthday.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Two years ago in Maine.
And
they brought
and
zero presents.
Little less than 2 years
and
ago.
And as the kids get older, I think there is I think Thanksgiving is actually a better time because there's less overall pressure.
Can I just do this to him?
You know what, Mike? Sometimes, trust me, I'm in the room with him.
I know.
Sometimes it's best not to give him the satisfaction of a reaction.
I understand these things.
Yes. But it's going to be amazing to have all your people together for a big meal and a good visit. That's great.
It's really a special one for me, more than any other Thanksgiving I can remember in my adult life. I am more excited about this one. I'll get burned, trust me. When the whole family's here after the third day, I'll be like, God, please, everybody go. That's just the way it is. But as far as the anticipation and the little man, look, I've screwed up a lot of things in my life. There's no doubt about that. I truly have. In my personal life, I could go back and say, you know, I didn't see this coming, or I didn't do this correctly, or I should have been this, or I should have been that. I will tell you one thing that tells me that I've made an okay several moves, that the love between my son and his two sisters, who came from a different marriage, is... turbocharged right now.
Aww.
My son on the Monday before the Saturday that Elizabeth is arriving said, I am so happy. First things he said to me is, I'm so happy Elizabeth's coming in 5 days.
And you said, chopped liver?
No, I was just so out of my mind.
That's
the win. The big win that supersedes any other win, anything in my life. I am, it's the win.
Let me tell you this, Mike.
I'm 62, folks. If you're 35 and you're hearing me right now, that's what really is the win. That's the thing that matters. You might not know that yet.
Let me tell you this, and I may have mentioned this on the air before, but Big Daddy and his wife had 8 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And on her deathbed.
Same wife?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. They married over 50 years. And I spent some time with her talking when she was on her deathbed. I said, what are you proudest of?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm proudest of the fact that My kids.
Can you turn your volume up a little bit?
Yeah. Uh-huh. She said, I'm proudest of the fact that my kids get together without even telling me about it. They love each other outside of like organized family like activities. And that's
great.
And that's what you've got there. And you should be proud. Because, you know, when she looked back on a 70-year career of raising children, that's what she was proud of. And so you should be very, very
and
proud.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be all the time if you, because, and I think that's important to do. I don't want to start with a big Maldon thing.
It's okay.
But it doesn't have to be all the time.
Well, at least like, you had an opportunity to talk to your loved ones. I haven't even talked to a grandfather ever. You know why? I never met them.
Well, and, you know, Michael, unfortunately, won't have a grandparents to know that well.
My father did call
me. He's got his gammy. He's got his gammy. He's got Carla's mom.
My father said he's coming in on Sunday, this Sunday before Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving.
Right.
And he said, I got to fly in from Bogota. It'll be 2 a.m. Monday, it looks like, your time. I said, 2 a.m. Monday morning? He goes, yeah, well, I technically fly out of La Paz on Saturday, but then I'm going to spend a day in Bogota. And then I'm like, okay, 2 a.m. Monday morning? He goes, yes, Dulles Airport. What's your schedule look like?
Oh, God. Why is it you? Why is it always you?
And I said, Dad.
It's always you.
I'm a grown man. I'm running a company.
Like, you
think
I can
just like knock this out? He goes, I'll send you an Uber. He goes, okay, SUV, please.
Wow.
Programming alert for people. How's this for a week early?
Better spot.
Our schedule for the Thanksgiving holiday will be two shows, Thanksgiving week, Monday and Tuesday, followed by a bonus show that week. And we're not quite sure yet when we're going to drop that. We're not even quite sure exactly what that bonus is going to be.
Yeah.
Might be something a little different.
So thinking ahead.
Be mindful of that. But there will be two regular shows, Monday and Tuesday. We will be off Wednesday through Thanksgiving.
Yeah. But if you're a bonus show subscriber, you're going to have something.
And I do
You'll
think
have three shows.
I'm really
show.
Pressing for an idea, and Oscar likes it. Mike is still dragging his feet, but the Thanksgiving bonus show will be all in rap.
Like lyrics?
Yeah, it will be all in rhyme.
Is that shtick?
It was shtick.
Okay.
Just not very good shtick.
I didn't know what was happening. That was Rob shtick. There you go. Okay, I'm sorry.
Nice to see you.
Sorry about that.
Hello, friends.
So that's the business. We've covered it, right? That's everything that we needed to cover
ones.
at the front of the show. Sam Huff passed away this weekend. Rob has more Sam Huff stories than I do because Rob worked with Sam
West
Huff.
West Virginia's
I bumped into Sam Huff. Don will probably be talking about Sam Huff. I'm not going to talk a lot about it. I met Sam Huff on an airplane one time. That was it. We used to make fun of Sam Huff because he was the color guy for the Washington Redskins. The Washington football team's broadcast, and we'd do shtick because they were kind of corny, but they were original. You had Frank, Sonny, and Sam, who were the play-by-play guys for the Washington football team. And well, that's not the word I would use, but original is what I would use.
You know,
the best is not. Best would be, you know, some Vin Scully would be the best.
I will absolutely agree with you, but I will say this. I believe they may have been the first broadcast team that people would listen to the radio and watch TV.
Well, here's the thing. And these were, I think these were guys that were, like so many local announcers, they were homer guys.
Of course.
And that's what you want in your hometown announcers. I would, and I said this all the time, I am not a Redskins fan, Washington football team fan. I'm not that guy. I was raised in a different part of the country, and my allegiance was to another football team, the Giants, as everybody knows. I would listen, and I knew a lot of people that played for the Washington team. I knew the broadcasters. Frank Herzog and I are both graduates of American University. And I would listen because I was connected to the team, especially when we were on the air here in Washington, D.C. The thing about their broadcast, there was no other broadcast like this where I would be out running around if I wasn't watching the game, and I would get into my car and I would turn it on, and I would know, regardless of them giving a score, I would know based on their tone whether the Washington team was winning or losing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they were. It was just like, well, shut up, Sam, Sonny would say.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's going on with that. Sam Huff, you've read the bio, great biography, obituary in the Washington Post about Sam Huff talking about how tough he was. And by the way, Sam Huff made his name with my football team, the New York Giants, and was an amazing linebacker, one of the toughest guys ever to play in the NFL, and then he made the transition to broadcasting, where I thought he was a bit of a character. You know, and you could really have fun listening to
them. The chemistry between the three of them was fantastic.
Well, the chemistry mostly between him and Sonny. That was what was great.
It was, but also don't discount the fact that you needed a guy like Frank Herzog
in
the middle, and they destroyed that chemistry when they eliminated Frank from that equation. And then I guess it was 2012, 2013. That's when he started to have signs of dementia, and he was not able to continue. And that's what eventually he passed away from. But it was years and years. We would always make fun of Sonny and Sam. And Frank, at one time, I know Don and I were on an airplane, and he put his arms around both of us, his giant,
big,
intimidating linebacker arms. Is, "Don't ever make fun of my intelligence." And I'm like, "Yeah,
yes, sir."
Because we were scared. Physical cowards, both of us. That's the way that worked.
I got a chance. I called Robert. I said, "You got to know that one of the greatest players of the world came out of WVU, and you're going to be hearing a lot about it."
He was a Mountaineer. That's right.
And I said, "Robert, know that his autograph hangs in our basement." And I never, you know, when I got into doing stuff with the Redskins, I was kind of dropped feet first into a football environment that I was over my head. I didn't realize it until...
Well, you had, for your every one of your formative years, never given the slightest rat's ass about sports.
My dad wanted it. It just, it never happened.
But you mocked sports. You hated sports so much, you went in the opposite direction. Mocked sports.
Well, Mike, but here's what I'm trying to say. And this is not about me mocking sports. It's something that it was a lesson learned. Is that twice, when I got to get to work with the Washington football team and I would have access,
yes,
I got to bring my dad up to the press box once. And my dad is a very cool guy. And he's not sort of unhinged or
impressed. A fanboy.
Not a fanboy at all, but
except of a great ass.
When he met Sam Huff, my dad grew up in Northern New Jersey, so he was a Giants fan growing up. My dad was awed to meet Sam Huff. And then
that's
kind of
like
him.
I would be with Carl Yastrzemski.
And then
the same thing
again is when we brought them on at WJFK when Ron and Fez came up to the press box, and they said, "That's really Sam Huff."
And because they were Giants fans.
They're Giants fans too. And then, you know, I did a little research.
I don't go back that far. That's interesting, because I never went quite back to the Sam Huff era. I was too small.
When you do the research, and there's a really fascinating thing, and it's finally on YouTube. I had to trade with people at NFL Films to finally ever see a copy of it back in the day. It's called The Violent World of Sam Huff.
Yeah, I read about that in the obit they had in the Post.
And the whole thing, it's a grainy copy, but you can see it on YouTube. It's the first time they ever mic'd a player up.
Kick your ass.
Oh my God, it's so fascinating. Cronkite, I believe in it, refers to it. This is like 1960. He calls it a reality show.
Yeah.
He calls it a reality show 60 That's years cool. ago.
What, so, they mic him in under his shoulder
what
pads?
What they did is they cut the pads out and for enough to put a transmitter in.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally built like a rig for him so you could hear him. He also...
I gotta watch that.
It's really cool, and people should know that he invented the middle linebacker position. That did not exist before him.
In a world of people hating on people, the celebration of Sam's life really speaks volumes of his life.
Yeah, it really does. And he was always very nice to me.
It's old school. And you got to work with those guys.
Yeah.
And they were characters off air as well, right?
So nice. And one thing I will always remember is they had their little mechanized system for getting the game done, especially when it was Sonny, Sam, and Frank. Every day, Sam would come in, look sharp, usually had like a tweed jacket, cup of coffee, and he'd undo his bag and he'd pull out his stats and his notes and his prep and a 2-minute egg timer. And the 2-minute egg timer had a piece of masking tape on it, said Sam, so you knew it was his. And every time he flipped it, when it ran out, he would give the score on the air because he wanted to make sure that someone who had just been listening would never have to wait more than 2 minutes.
That's a great detail, Rob.
Never have to wait more than 2 minutes to hear the score of the game. And
because that was, that's a thing for people listening,
especially
on the radio.
Especially on radio, yeah.
Somebody probably told him that a long time ago. Really, really cool.
That was one of my favorite things, to watch him flip his egg timer. It was good. And he was just a nice, kind man that really knew his stuff. And a buddy of mine, Chris Roth, said one time, he was late to getting to his broadcast mark, and they had to go find him because he was talking to fans. Just talking to fans that had spotted him and said, "Hey, and he was swapping stories, and he was that kind of guy. just an effusive, nice, kind man. And he
Oh, that's nice. See, you have that insight and, you know, working with those guys, and they were set in their ways. You know, also Frank Herzog, really nice to us and nice person.
Frank's a great guy.
Got a chance. And Sonny, you know, was a great quarterback.
Not so nice. It.
Well, can I tell my...
I don't know if it's not so nice. It's just Sonny was Sonny. No, Sonny was nice to us, too. Yeah. Sonny was nice, but Sonny was...
accustomed to getting his way.
Sonny, imagine, if you will, one of the very first guy in the city of Washington.
Yes.
A man who probably had permanent damage done to his ass because of the amount of kissing for his entire life. All right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, it was just like, right?
Yes,
I mean,
100%.
Sam had the country gentleman Middleburg thing going on. You had Frank Herzog, who was a TV broadcaster. And, you know, but Sonny was, everybody wanted a piece of Sonny.
And he was not patient. Can I tell two quick Sonny things? Two of my favorite Sonny things.
Because if you're going to talk about Sam, it always has to get back to Sonny when you're from the nation's capital.
When I was announcing for the Redskins, I had the pleasure and the luck of having full access to the stadium, including the tunnels underneath, which was the best way to travel around if you needed to get around. I'm coming around the corner and I hear tires.
You know every stadium has tunnels underneath?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Do you know how what it's like to tell a story?
Including the tunnels underneath. Every stadium has the tunnels underneath.
Yeah, but I'm saying that not everyone has access to the tunnels,
all right,
jackass.
Get back to the Sonny part. Right. Okay,
so
please,
I'm coming
you.
Around the corner and I hear, urch, just like, you know, tires on concrete,
yes,
smooth concrete, and zooming through the concourse tunnel is Sonny in his black Mercedes, probably going 30 miles an hour in a stadium tunnel, and in his mouth is a plum. And he's coming and he zips by me. At this point, I know him well enough that he waves to me, but he never takes the plum out of his mouth. I gotta get to my parking space. Gotta get there.
And Sonny had the best one in the stadium.
Absolutely. Yes. He parked underneath.
Because he was Sonny.
Yeah. But my favorite, and this was long before I worked with him, is he was a regular call-in feature on the Don and Mike show. And we were at a Super Bowl somewhere, and he was on the stage with the great George Michael. And I said, instead of doing the call-in, we could do it live. And I go up, and I'm nervous. I'm a kid. I'm 23, right? And I say, and I have to get through a throng of people to get to him.
Of course.
And I say, excuse me, Mr. Jurgensen, my name is Rob Spiewak, and I'm producing for the Don and Mike show. We talk every week on the phone. And I was wondering if you could free up a few minutes to come by and sit with us on Radio Row. And he says, he holds up his hand like Caesar. He says, I know who you are.
Stop talking.
Yeah,
okay.
Stop.
It's amazing we couldn't get guests then either. Because Rob would be nervous. That's what it would be. If he walked up and said, "Yo, Sonny, Don and Mike want you on in 5 minutes," it would be as like,
"Excuse me, I'll have Mr. Jurgensen."
You know, when I look back on today, I'm going to try.
How many times? No. Before you counter mouth, let me ask you: how many times did you serve as producer of the Don and Mike show?
I think it was 40. No, it was,
how many times were you fired?
Here's the thing. I think I
demoted.
I served as producer 3 times, but only demoted twice.
There you go.
I thought it was a lateral transition.
Well, that's how I always wanted to look at it.
He got the same pay.
It's so title alone. It worked
out. Look back on today, I'm trying to think which story I'm more happy I told.
I like the plum story.
Did you say you had a second one?
Those two. That was the one at the Super Bowl and the plum story. Yeah,
okay. But I know who you are.
Stop. I know who you are.
Would it tell the one that I like the best?
Oh, okay.
Because Sonny said this is a culinary story.
This is a great
one,
too.
Sam, we love you, but unfortunately, your quirky partner, Sonny, would always be the diva, and this is my favorite broadcast. Sonny, Sam, and Frank story.
At the new stadium, the one that was originally called Ral John, now it's still the one in Landover. They're still playing there. It's a horrible facility, but...
FedEx Field.
Because Sonny wanted it, the TV booth is always on the 50, and the radio booth is never on the 50 because people hate radio, but the radio booth is right next to the TV booth. So up there, there's this like lounge where they put out a buffet for the TV talent. And it was always very crowded in the TV, in the radio TV area, and you always knew Sonny was getting annoyed.
Now you're loud. You're hot. I don't know why you're burning the mic, but it gets really close to the mic, just a little bit less. I don't know what's going on with that. The audio is weird. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And you could always tell when Sonny was annoyed because he'd mute his mic and he'd turn to their producer, Jim McCormick, and say, "Getting kind of crowded in here, Jim. Getting kind of crowded." But the best thing ever, and I saw it happen.
Because he hated it being like ridiculous.
He just wanted to do the game. But the one thing that was truly important to him is, and I'd seen it happen, when they'd kill the mics for halftime, he'd take his headphones off and say, "Hot dog."
Because he wanted a hot dog.
He was thinking about the hot dogs.
Well, he couldn't get up and get it.
No, he had to get his hot dog.
Would that be a cue for like one of the producers to grab him a dog?
Just the cue to get the hell out of his way. Because I'd see the process. They would call halftime. They'd go to spots. He'd take his binoculars, put them down, take his cigar, SJ9, put it on the eyepieces of his binoculars, headphones off. Hot dog.
Wait, he'd go and get it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was asking for one.
No.
And then he was like, clear the decks, I'm getting a hot dog.
And then you get to like great things like Pat Summerall would come out. He said, "Hey, Jerky."
Which was his
nickname because they go with
that. That's a long time ago.
I got to see a lot of neat stuff in my day. That was really cool.
So that's very, very cool.
Sam Huff,
as far as the cool thing about the position of middle linebacker in the NFL, and you see it today. And I'm certainly not as much of a novice as certain people, but I'm not a total non-expert when it comes to following football. The cool thing about the middle linebacker position is the freedom of the position defensively, mm-hmm. which Sam really did blaze a trail, which is end to end between the hashtags, roaming the field, the kind of predator and collisions like you would not believe. And he went up against the great Jim Brown. I mean, these were some of the most legendary tough guys, and it was just super, super cool and really making that transition to the modern day football players in the 60s. That's when I cut my teeth watching the Giants with my father. And, he didn't get the attention when he played nearly as much as later in his career.
Defense was never very sexy.
Defense was not the sexy deal that we had.
The rumor is that the first time a crowd ever chanted defense, defense, mm-hmm. defense, it was for the Giants and Sam Huff.
Sam Huff. Ann lived in Middleburg, was mm-hmm. kind of a country gentleman out there, loved horses.
Yes.
Was involved in horses out in Middleburg, which is, I tell people, if you come to the Washington, D.C. area and you want to see some of the most beautiful countryside in the United States, go out to the Middleburg Plains area of Northern Virginia. It's really, really special. So safe travels, safe home.
The best.
Sam Huff, we love you, and we'll take a break. And when we come back, it's the homepage, and then later on we're going to have another regular feature of the Mike O'Mara Show that there's quite a buzz about mm-hmm. the name of it, because that's how exciting we are, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, and we'll be taking a little break and be back with more fun and more thrills. And if I didn't say so, happy Monday, everybody.
Yeah.
Sex. Well, People magazine have named Paul Rudd the sexiest man alive this year, and all I have to say is, where is the love? Were the TMOSP1 gentlemen even considered? Come on, recount the votes. I spent a lot of time on that sexy Twitch promo. Big Dirk energy. Pauly Christine has been killing it all summer, posting topless pics from his pool in Brooklyn. Jim Amato, sex machine. Robert Wood. Rick Schofield. Dennis Murphy. Adam Mayfield. I mean, come on, this is an outrage. So come hang out with the real sexiest men alive, the P1 gentlemen of TMOS, all of whom are subscribers to the TMOS bonus show. Get a bonus show subscription today. It's not for everybody, just the sexy people.
Thank you, Twitch. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you're looking for ways to skip that trip to the post office and dodge all that holiday shopping traffic, why not save time and money with Stamps.com? Stamps.com lets you compare rates, print labels, and access exclusive discounts on UPS and USPS services. services all year long. Whether you're selling online or running an office or side hustle, Stamps.com can save you a ton of time, money, and stress during the holidays. You can access all the post office and UPS shipping services you need without taking the trip. And get exclusive discounts like up to 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS. If you spend more than a few minutes a week dealing with mail and shipping, Stamps.com is a lifesaver. It is going to save you time like you would not believe. You will save so much time and money, you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. So I want you to do this right now. Save time and money this holiday season with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code TMOS for a special offer. This offer includes a four-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale, and there are no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter the code TMOS. And to Stamps.com, you've been with us for a long time. We appreciate you, and you will appreciate Stamps.com, everybody.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
I'm a little pained that I lead the news you may not need today with Paris Hilton, but you know, it was there. Yeah, it was there. She's been surfacing lately. She got married, and she spent
new reality show coming out too.
So. Yeah, of course, because
naturally.
Yeah, all right, this might make you sick, but, you know, it's celebrities in the news. Paris Hilton spent most of the weekend celebrating her marriage to Carter Rium, or Ram, or Riamamum.
That's
or
hot.
Or Carter Phlegm. No, Carter R-E-U-M.
Room.
Room?
Room. Pardon
or
me.
Or Ram.
Pardon me, do you have a room?
I think Chad Ram was R-H- E U M E
Ram,
and that was spelled Ram.
Ram.
Well, he was
Ram.
A jerk, though.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's not anymore. But he hit me in the eye with a hammer. Their actual wedding.
Maybe Mr. Ram beat his ass
because Mr. Ram didn't do that. Just kind of chill.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he gave me a ride in my first ride in a real fast sports car, and I think that cemented my love of automobiles.
That's sweet.
There's that.
And then did he offer you candy?
No. Why'd you make it that way?
I was just checking.
He already had him in the car.
He didn't have to give him anything.
He already had him in the car. Sometimes he knows when, right? Sometimes his pony's got that little knife-like wit that comes right through at the right time. That was good.
Mike, he flies under the radar.
Stop.
Their actual wedding took place Thursday at the Bel Air estate of Paris's late grandfather, Baron Hilton.
Yeah, I eyeballed this estate, Mike, and the wedding. Very impressive.
Mike, Baron
really?
Hilton said, it was a great wedding.
Well, all the champagne glasses. Well, the champagne. And then Lancelot Link went into the wedding going, well, I want to see Kim Kardashian, Mata. And then Mata Harry said,
what are we going to eat now, Lancelot?
And they were all looking like they were eating peanut butter.
So is Baron, is that Conrad's son?
No, Baron Hilton is the late grandfather.
Oh, so Conrad is the son. Okay, forgive me. Because Conrad was a character on Mad Men. I was trying to put it in context of...
And Baron, didn't Trump name his kid Baron kind of based on that?
You can name your kid the same name.
Right.
So I think there's two Conrads. There's a young Conrad and the father Conrad.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Oscar, for explaining it so clearly.
Well, I've been following the Hiltons for some time now.
I understand that.
So let me see. The weekend. Here's the weekend. Friday, they... Wait a minute. Friday, they put on a carnival after party with lemonade, funnel cakes, and hot dogs. Plus plus a Paris Hilton-themed carnival games. God, this is so badly written. I wish I'd written it myself,
What would be a good Paris Hilton-themed carnival game?
You get to ride on the tongue.
It's like whack-a-mole.
On Friday, they put on a carnival after party. Lemonade, funnel cakes, hot dogs, plus Paris Hilton-themed carnival games. A DJ, live performances, and a Ferris wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's nice.
Then Saturday night was a fancy dinner back at the Hilton estate, followed by a night of dancing. Well, when the hell is the wedding?
Well, what I saw, Mike, was the estate in Bel Air and two cartoon-sized tents where you would technically see a yard in the backyard.
Right.
But that's where they set up the wedding. Looked beautiful.
There were celebrities, of course, among those who showed up for one or all of the events. Kim Kardashian, Emma Roberts, Jaden Smith, Nicole and Sophia Richie, Ashley Benson. Who is Ashley Benson, Oscar?
I don't know
Ashley Benson. Eventually, you'll be able to see all this chaos for yourself. Does that mean they don't pay for it? Because it's going to be on Paris in Love. That means they're not going to have to pay because this is all an expense
for
the show.
It's a set.
Correct?
Well, E! Would pay for it. I'm sorry. Hulu is the network she's on for her reality show.
It's all done for money.
Look, we dabbled in the reality. Bravo didn't pay us to film The Real Housewives of Potomac in our studios. It was a consideration.
Yeah, they get it. They're slimy that way.
If you consider your wedding, let's say, what does a Paris Hilton wedding cost? Maybe what? $300,000, $500,000?
All right. If you want to know everything, and I'm sorry, I still go back this far, and I believe people change and modify and whatever. I'm glad she's getting married. If you want to know the Paris Hilton, my favorite part, go back and watch the interviews with David Letterman.
Yep.
All right? Watch the interview with David Letterman, where all she was capable of saying is, that's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, anyway, everyone grows up, right?
This is true. Everybody grows up, including Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
How many years has this been in the news, right? I mean, we go from Paris Hilton to Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Britney Spears is free.
Woo!
She is free.
Begin the countdown.
Free Britney. Oh, before the meltdown?
For the meltdown?
Well, I don't want it to happen, but there's a reason why this was in place for so long.
Rob, do something with this, because anytime this comes up, if he's right, everybody be quiet. You can I'll record this for you right now. Okay. Countdown before the meltdown.
Oh my God, I didn't realize you did that. Do it again without the homepage music. Go ahead.
Countdown to the meltdown.
Love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Britney Spears is free. A judge made it official on Friday. There was absolute chaos outside the courthouse. Chaos!
I wonder if she's going to take all that money she has access to now and have funnel cakes, lemonade, and a Ferris wheel.
The conservatorship was terminated. Britney posted a video and said, quote, "Good God, I love my fans so much it's crazy. I think I'm going to cry the rest of the day. Best day ever. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen?" All right, good for her. What the hell? She works her ass off, you know?
Well, it's going to be interesting because, look, if you're a Britney fan or even if you're thinking about her in one realm or another, whether it's a reality world or the music, she's actually going to put more music out, right?
Mm-hmm. True.
So let's see what that sounds like. I wish her the best, but it's tough to buy into someone. While I just said everybody changes, what we have seen has just been a lot of chaos,
mm-hmm.
right? So
we'll see what happens.
If someone's not giving you chaos, then you're like, okay, things are probably better, but who knows?
Yeah. You know who's probably happy, even though we lost him many years ago, is her grandfather, Baron Spears.
Thank you, Rob. That's not what I wanted to play. Someone came up with a calculator that allows you to enter any monetary amount and see how long it takes Elon Musk to earn it. That means you can plug in your salary and find out just how ridiculously more wealthy this man is than you. I don't know why somebody did this, but I found it a little interesting. For instance, the average yearly salary in the U.S. is $51,480. Plug that into the calculator and you'll discover that Elon Musk makes that much cash in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Let's say you're doing a little better and you make $100,000. Elon merely exists for 4 minutes and 23 seconds to earn that much. Did you make $1 million last year? Congratulations. Elon just made that much over the last 43 minutes and 48 seconds.
Yeah.
If it's not depressing enough, there's also a ticker that shows you how much Elon is earning in real time while you're using the site. So you'll actually see a little ticker that shows how much money
Elon should buy fruitcakes. This is what Elon should do. Yeah.
Are you guys seeing around where you live more Teslas? I'm seeing them down here. A lot of them. A lot of Teslas down here.
Let me think. The capital of the free world, Doucheville, number one. Yes, Teslas everywhere. There are Teslas everywhere.
Yep.
So is this happening around the United States?
This is how I know there's Teslas everywhere, because you just don't see them. When you see them, you're desensitized to them.
Yeah, and
you
also
don't even think twice.
And you don't hear them because they're quiet.
Thank you. shut up. How big a deal is Hertz buying all those Teslas? for rental cars now. You know? And that's a great campaign. That's a great commercial to use
winning,
Tom Brady that
not
well.
Not when the Washington football team beats you on the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, hey, bad how about weekend. That? Way to go, yeah. Washington football go. Team.
You know
hey,
what?
Mr. Brady.
With all those electric cars, they should change the name of the place to Megahertz.
Mike, I see that in the morning. I'm like, well, maybe they could update his roster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what is he doing here? Getting updates? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right. He's like, hey, let's go. Let's go win a game again.
Way to go, Elon. 92% of people say doing good deeds makes them happier. The top good deeds that can instantly turn your day around. This I speak to this. I know exactly how you feel. Helping someone with a task. Donating to someone in need and just saying good morning to people. Little stuff like that.
Yep.
It's really, really helpful.
Not in D.C. I'll say good morning. Remember my bit? No one ever. I'm like, I'm a creep.
Yeah.
Good morning. But like, if you see somebody that's on the side of the street and they might need something, like you do it when you buy
I'll throw
candy
a Gatorade
or something
for somebody. And like, that'd be great. But Mike, it's so crazy. You think people would be a little more hospitable and nice after a pandemic? No. People are scared.
Yeah.
They don't even want to say hello.
It's sad. It's sad. We should do it. But if you do it, I know it for a fact. If I'm,
I would love it.
It's great. Show somebody a kind, even holding a door. It
I
makes
feel
it
like when I after I'm done saying hello to somebody randomly, they're like, oh, cokehead. Like, because I'm so excited for life.
And by the way, Rob said he loves holding a door, but Rob does it in the old-fashioned way, like the old French Revolution way, right? When you open the door, you do the arm swing, right?
Yeah, I bow and I gesture. Also,
entree, m'lady.
And if I have time, I'll go into a revolving door for hours and just keep it spinning as a courtesy.
I do the revolving door when I see them, but I do the when Rob and I are together, we reenact the murder scene from The Godfather.
Remember the time we accidentally got into the same slot of revolving door?
Oh, my God. And that sound was...
I had to call the fire department.
Kids are much faster learners than adults, and we've never really known why. But a new study may have figured it out. They're more curious. I'm curious.
I'm a kid. I'm a little boy.
And they're not afraid of failing. Researchers at Berkeley put kids and adults through the same test where they could earn 1 star for doing things right or lose 2 stars if they did them wrong. And by the end, the adults had more stars, but that wasn't really the point. The real point was to figure out the pattern behind why they got each task right or wrong. It involved different blocks that either had white or black dots on them, and the kids were more likely to figure it out because they didn't care about the stars so much. This is interesting.
Weird.
One author of the study summed it up like this, quote, "Grown-ups are often so anxious to exploit that we don't explore. We are so afraid of losing stars that we miss the chance to learn something new." So I buy that. That sounds interesting. Or it sounds a little too neat.
Well, you could also buy a map in Hollywood and just ride around town.
Different kind of star.
I think it would have been better if they gave out scratch and sniff stickers.
We mentioned Sam Huff, Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was a 2-time All-Pro and NFL champion, died Saturday. He was 87. Deborah Matthews, the lawyer for the Huff family, told the Associated Press, Huff died of natural causes in Virginia. He was diagnosed with dementia in 2013, and I think we paid a nice little tribute to Sam. And now, a little something, something, something for you. 7-Eleven, Oscar, you're going to love this, has unveiled a Thanksgiving meal that you can eat on the go. The convenience store chain released its Thanksgiving turkey sub to the world on Friday. 7-Eleven sees the sandwich as being ideal for a lunch, midday snack, or as a main dish on Friendsgiving. It is available for a limited time at participating 7-Eleven stores nationwide, packed with shaved butterball turkey. Shaved turkey, sharp white cheddar cheese, and cranberry mayo. The festive sub marks the debut of 7-Eleven's signature stuffing flavored roll.
Mike, I'm not into designer imposter colognes or subs. The Gobbler, the original at Wawa, will always have my heart.
Yeah. Well, they got noticed because of what 7-Eleven's doing.
Think about it. Just optics alone. When you walk into a Wawa, there's a full kitchen and people milling around in the back. The same guy that's checking out your energy drink is giving you your turkey gobbler at 7-Eleven. I don't like that. I like my world separated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the best part is at 7-Eleven, you don't have to pay extra for the taste of exhaust. Oh. There you go, everybody. Yes, very yummy, yummy,
Ironically, Mike, 7-Eleven, the average weight of the person ordering that sandwich.
And how do you open the door for people when you let them into the 7-Eleven?
Please come in!
We'll take a break and come back with more. You, ladies and gentlemen, are... Yes, listen to Michael
Merrill.
Oh,
look, you're 6 feet tall.
Hey, kids, Palmer Betty here. My cousin Billy is done crabbing for the season and is ready to help the elves out down the old TMOS kitchen with the fruitcake futures. But you gotta get them ordered now. The boys are down to the wire. Remember, you're not just getting a delicious Rob's Beeswax signature fruitcake, hon. You're fundraising to keep the boys on the air. You don't want that show to go by to buy. All that extra stimmy in your pocket, why not upgrade and order to Super Premium and help the boys out? They did not cut corners on ingredients, and it's top-notch quality right there. Billy promises he won't put any Old Bay in them. Get yours now. While you're at it, why not renew your bonus show or send some to your friends? They both make great holiday gifts. Also, don't forget, gotta have them in time to get to the post office so we can get them out to you. So order today before time runs out, or you'll be sorry. Time's a-fleetin'.
Post office. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, the science is clear. A healthy gut microbiome with the good bacteria that help our bodies process food is key to a healthy lifestyle. But now we're learning about the connection between your gut microbiome health and type 2 diabetes. Pendulum Glucose Control is the first and only medical probiotic that's designed to manage A1C and blood glucose levels through the health of your microbiome. For those with type 2 diabetes, diet and exercise alone don't always manage it. The best approach emphasizes diet, exercise, and a healthy gut. A healthy gut microbiome. This connection has been widely recognized by leading scientists studying diabetes, including the American Diabetes Association, the Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins, and others. Those are big names. Pendulum, you didn't need me to tell you that.
Mike, duh. Great outfits.
Great outfits. That Hopkins, you know, Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
Wonderful outfit. Pendulum Glucose Control helps fill in the gaps by providing the first and only probiotic designed to manage blood glucose and A1C levels. With Pendulum, you can feel in control of your A1C levels, not the other way around. Take control of your glucose levels today. Try Pendulum Glucose Control for 90 days. If you're not satisfied with your levels, you'll get your money back. Visit PendulumLife.com to find out more. Use our promo code TMOS for 20% off the first bottle of your membership. That's PendulumLife.com. Promo code TMOS. Thank you, Pendulum. And thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Mike.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Over the weekend, I had a wonderful weekend. I really did. I went to a Happy Valley party, and this was a new group that we were hanging out with, and it was a very, very nice affair, welcoming everybody back from a lot of people up north because we have a lot of snowbirds down here. As you know, I have a little social anxiety, and it was heightened to a degree because my apology tour for my bad behavior the last time I had been the apology tour was missing one final person.
How many did you have to collect total?
Four.
Four. Okay.
You guys, four stars.
One, two, three, four, five.
Five.
Oh, five.
This is a big table. It was a big table. And I was like,
and their spouse or just them?
Huh?
And their spouse?
No. Well, I didn't even talk to them, so I don't know whether you know, they might have gotten, they might have observed from afar.
Okay.
You know, they might have been like looking down the end of the table and going, what an asshole. But that, you know. Because it was just, and it was really all towards the very end. So
got
really,
it, a
really, really only two guys that witnessed
got
the, you know.
It, yeah.
So let's go. Let's, you know, put you on TV. Right. Like, walking out, you know, just like that. But it's horrible. And I would be lying if I said it's not the first time I've had to do something like that
but
in my
life.
But
you had three or two left within the set.
I had one.
One. Okay. 20%.
And I saw the guy, and again, graciously accepted, very kind. Why do you laugh at that? Why do you laugh at that?
Because it could be. How do you think it's usually going to go?
I think there's the chance it's a, you know, there can be a chilly response. There can be a chilly response.
A prickly response.
Oscar, I've gone on more of these than you have. I've gotten all sorts of, I've gotten rejections. So that fear is in my brain. There are two things going on.
Yes.
Okay. that if you are the lone wolf and you pull something like this, it's no matter what happened as a precursor to it, if you go, this is like a fight with your significant other. If you go that one level too far, you're the one that's ultimately, and this can be with your wife, with your friends, with a table of people you don't know that well.
Rather fight sober than hammered about certain things.
I've done this. Yes. And I have been, you know, I've gotten every variety of kind. The thing that I noticed was there is a gracious way of accepting and where you know it's appreciated. And the way this went down was the morning after my
behavior.
And there might be people going, what did he do? I got a little too tipsy and my wife was upset and I was upset. And I said some things that I didn't. If you listen to the show, you'd know that.
Yeah.
And if you subscribe to the bonus show, you'll know even
definitely
more. That's the way it goes. But a guy intervened, a really nice guy. And I come out of this with a feeling of more connection than I had before. So I wouldn't have told you that was possible when this went down. The guy that said, just apologize. You know, it's no big deal. Everybody does it. And I took that advice. Even though when you go through something like that and somebody has said something and there's been a little disagreement and you feel like because you think a certain way that you're a target, it's really an important change in my psyche. Going forward, I've been thinking about this for a long time, how we have to make more effort to be less divisive. We do, because it's just no good's going to come out of this. And I might as well start on my end instead of being indignant and getting my dander up and worrying about this stuff, because ultimately I'm going to be less happy. And if I was really going to change anything, I can still do everything I do to live my life the way I want to and support causes that I like and support candidates that I like. But I think that we all, from the right, from the left, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, have to try to right this ship. And I think it's happening. I think more people are thinking like that. And I think ultimately, might not be this election, the next election, the next election. I think maybe the pendulum will swing back. That's my attitude right now. And part of that was a couple of things that were said during my little apology tour that, you know, that indicated we're all kind of out for the same thing.
To a degree. And I'm happy that this gentleman was kind of open to the...
This makes me... I am in a defensive
you
crack
ready?
When he
you
starts
ready
talking.
This?
No, I'm ready now.
I'm curious because I've never asked anybody this. Were the 80s like this between the Republicans and Democrats?
No. Not even close.
Right? It was classy.
Well, I remember sitting at when I was a baby DJ, going to a party and talking about Bill Clinton on a patio at a guy that had a little crab feast in his backyard. And there was a semicircle of chairs sitting around me with guys, you know, lobbing stuff at me. Mm-hmm. And I was debating, you know.
Yeah.
And it was at the time innocuous. It was not, it was intense.
Yeah.
But that was the beginning of it. I think if you go back to the real divisions,
I think you're right.
It starts right around that period of time, and it was golfers once again. Golfers are conservative by and large. That's the way it's always been. But no, the 80s. I don't remember the
and 90s weren't that crazy, right? I just felt like there was a decorum and respect.
No, this was when it became really bad. It was no matter how you think. You know, win at all costs. You're no matter what you say, you're wrong, and I don't care about anything other than beating you.
Mm-hmm.
That is a new phenomenon. The divisiveness and the rhetoric has been around since George Washington.
Mm.
I mean, look how our country was formed. I mean, that's just the way it happens. But this stuff that we're going through right now.
Interrupt just for a second. The fact that you went out and you did and you formulated a plan and did an apology tour. Which it wasn't essentially.
Most people
really
don't
a tour.
Even do that.
No, that shows a want to get back to when things are civilized. We're always going to say things, especially if we're lubricated, that are going to piss people off. I mean, it happens. It happens.
Yeah, that's not anything new.
No, but the fact that in this climate of all for the win, you go and you apologize, that's huge. I think that's a really great gesture.
I would love to be, and I'm really pulling back the onion here.
Yeah.
I really, if you ask me about one thing about me that I would love to change for my entire life, I would have loved to be the happy drunk. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to be the guy that has a few cocktails and goes, you were so sweet when
so
you
funny.
Did that. You were so funny. Yeah, it was so exciting. Yeah. And I am to a point.
Yes.
But then I get to the turn. The turn is horrible.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about my turn. All right. And first of all, it doesn't happen nearly as much. And that's why, because it had been months since I'd ever.
Ever since you got those air brakes.
The turn will be, and Oscar and Rob can testify to this.
Yeah.
The turn for me can happen. There is no stumbling.
No, it happens.
There is no slurring. Now, if you want to see,
I've seen his eyes Joel change Rogers, color.
Did Joel Rogers post that video for everybody when I was at the meet and greet?
I think it's still there.
Yeah. If you want to see the turn, and Carly got me out of there with listeners before the turn occurred. If you want to see me immediately prior to turn, go look at the Joel Rogers video of me at the meet and greet in Spokane, and Joel is shooting me with the camera, and I say something like, oh, you're a little sneaky guy there, aren't
you? Yep.
And then I go like this, and then I drink. And if you want to see, this is the supreme dick drink. This is the way I drink. I got to take the, because I didn't have any glasses on right there. I go, oh, so my eyes are like this. Ah! Oh, you sneaky little guy there. And somebody's talking to me, and I look in the other direction.
I look in the other direction.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yep. So not only do you turn, you're disregarding.
Next time you see that, grab my elbow. So, yeah. Mike, we need to get you out of here. Now, what you'll probably get is, I don't need to go anywhere. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Well, that's great. Yeah, okay. So.
This slot
and then
knows
suddenly
me
money. I'll be sitting there with a random person.
You'll befriend them.
So, how you doing? Where'd you get that? That's a stupid shirt.
Oh, boy.
And then, and then it's just like,
it doesn't
like,
always happen. It doesn't.
It doesn't, know, no, it doesn't, no, always,
it doesn't
happen.
Always happen. No.
It doesn't, but sometimes,
hour,
you know.
Seven into, like, heavy drinking.
You know what? Oscar and I do have one thing.
Yeah.
Oscar knows this. When you have that that problem where, you know, you're not quite sure of the events of the previous evening, that's usually when something like that is going to.
Oh,
horrible,
when you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Oh, it's
horrible,
terrifying.
Horrible.
When you live the next day like the movie Memento.
Literally.
Yeah. So that was the best part, but even better, we get to this shindig, and they had a lady at the entrance to Happy Valley on a ring, dressed in a skin-tight, like Cirque du Soleil bodysuit.
Yeah.
And that you want to talk
in
about
in their home?
No. This was at the place where everybody gathers
at the party,
the Happy Valley Country.
Oh, Park. at the party
mm-hmm. and the party and there and she was in and
wow.
pouring champagne into a glass. It was that she party.
That's how you feel. That when I if I ever saw that, I'd think immediately of Judge Smales.
Elihu. Yeah.
It's easy to grin when
your ship has come in. But you know what? You know when you see it? And there wasn't, that was it.
That's still gorgeous.
But it was still, I thought of Real Housewives when I saw that.
Yeah.
It was that
or
much
like
fun.
A really well done quinceañera.
It was really cool. What's a quinceañera?
The 15-year-old birthday in Latin households.
Yes.
Okay. Quinceañera.
It was nice. Yeah. It was really nice.
It's like a sweet 16 minus one.
A big my super sweet quinceañera.
Mm-hmm.
So it set the tone for the weekend. So it was pretty good little Friday night.
What does she
do
when she runs out of champagne?
Huh?
Somebody
hands her another bottle.
Yeah.
I got a video of Carla going up and filling her glass.
And Mike, you should know that in Happy Valley, no one ever runs out of champagne.
There you go. Thank you. We'll be right back, everyone.
And now, Tales of Aviation History with TMOS P1 listener, Captain Joel Rogers.
There he is.
Well, folks, from the flight deck, this is Captain Joel Rogers. On behalf of all 61 members of your Frankfurt-based flight crew, it's been a pleasure having the 36 of you on board our transatlantic flight today.
Captain.
We've begun our initial descent into the New York area where the weather is scattered clouds and isolated thunderstorms.
Scattered.
As a reminder, instead of duty-free shopping on your arrival, why not visit the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center for all your in-flight needs? Target and Walmart have everything for your comfort and onboard snacking. Visit MikeOmaraShow.com and click the banner to place an order. Because of the headwinds extending our flight time to 77 hours, the local time is 7:25 p.m. on May 6th, 1937. Let me be the first to welcome you to Manchester Township, New Jersey. We know you have a choice in rigid airship travel, and we thank you for flying the Hindenburg.
See what he did there?
That is funny.
It is.
I love it. Joel Rogers. And keep posting, Joel. So I love your posts. I love your posts all over
most
the world.
Most of them.
Now, why do you say that?
Not the video you just talked about.
No, that was good. I have watched that a thousand times.
You didn't ask him to take it down. No, you're only funny about it.
No, kidding. I looked at it and I go, oh, my God. I hate me.
Anyway. You actually said, I can see my father.
Yeah.
Oh, and me.
Yeah.
Well,
he didn't have a turn. He just was fun, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I got out of there. I had a turn later.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not getting out of the car.
Yes.
So, Rob, how was your little trip down to West Virginia? Got to study. Got to know thyself, people.
Yes,
and it's
please.
The only way you can try to improve. Cryptocurrency might feel like a super secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone, everywhere, should be able to get in the door, whether you've been trading for years or just getting started. Coinbase can help. If you identify as crypto curious,
mm-hmm.
get it? Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. So right now, let me go to my computer and go to my Coinbase.
You're an enthusiast.
I'm setting my father up this coming week because we had a big conversation about the crypto outside of picking him up at 2 a.m. from the airport on
sure.
a day that didn't work out. I said, look, when you get here, I'll set you up on Coinbase. You can do whatever you want on that. You're fine.
I'm doing this real time. I decided
don't tell me what to do.
No. I want him to ask
I will be arriving in the middle of the night from Bogota.
Yes.
Let me see here. All right, we're talking about Coinbase.
Pockets full of Dogecoin.
And,
why Bogota? Connections.
Right. Why not?
No, he's got
okay.
It's going to be a direct flight, I imagine.
All right, I'm still hanging in there. That's good.
Mike,
I love
remember,
it. It's how easy. By the way, I just did that real time.
Yeah,
I did that. I went to my Coinbase account.
Done and done.
It's really, look, this is exactly who I am, folks. When I talk about Coinbase, if you are, and I am crypto curious, you hear so much about it, you see so much about it. I took a small amount of money and I went to Coinbase.com and I got myself an account and I'm watching it all the time to see how it does. And it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It
Fun.
Really is because it is, you know, it is it going to be automatically the wave of the future? I don't know. But it's great to have a wonderful, cohesive web page to watch
the
this
app
on.
Is and great.
Yep.
Coinbase has
bingo,
a phenomenal
bango.
App. Yep, absolutely. So if you're into digital currencies, you want to check it out, they make it accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, mobile app that Oscar was just talking about. You can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place, which is what I just did. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify or just getting started, visit the website and check it out. It's a great time to get started. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/TMOS. That's coinbase.com/TMOS for $10 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today, coinbase.com/TMOS. And thank you, Coinbase, for sponsoring the show.
Good stuff.
Before we got started with the show, I will tell you that we were all talking about 60 Minutes, and that's how they get you.
Mm-hmm.
And this dovetails into a television program that my daughter recommended, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But what we were talking about was the 60 Minutes piece that was focusing on the supply chain as we go into the holidays. I found it the most depressing,
very sad
60 Minutes story I've watched in so long, with the 80 container ships off the coast of California and the containers being left on the dock. dock and the truckers pointing fingers at the warehouses and the warehouses pointing it was such a
Where is Jimmy Hoffa when you need him?
He's in the end zone at Giant Stadium.
You know what depressed me the most?
I'm like,
this is what got me, Oscar, yes. When they were all talking about why things aren't getting here and all the goods that are coming
and
from another country.
And how small businesses are getting like crushed.
Absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
Guy with this tiny little warehouse that relies on these appliances to come in from China. And
that he ordered 8 months ago.
That he ordered in May.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. It's so frustrating. And you look at that and you just go, how can something that has seemingly been a well-oiled machine for so long completely melt down? And then they're still getting charged. There's certain people that are still making money in this. What I took away from the 60 Minutes thing about container ships is that it's completely effed and it's not going to get fixed as long as there are people able to make money doing it.
It's not a two-sided market if the one side is controlled, has the majority of the control. Like you, and by that I mean you don't have both sides are not equally affected in a positive manner
or a
negative manner if you give them equal control. And for me, I took joy in that piece, and I wasn't saddened by it. You know why? Because that piece screams inefficiencies. And it screams for some sort of, not regulation, but a privatization of the ports. If the cities can't handle it, and the infrastructure we have currently for trucking, and people, in my eyes, can't get through this within almost a year's time, 12 months we've been dealing with this.
Right.
Then we got to step in and say, you know what? LA, we gave you a chance to do it, Port Authority. You tried to do it. You're not going to invest the $20 billion you need to invest in this just one port.
Billion with a B.
Why don't we spin this out and move on with life?
Yeah.
Well, because sitting there and talking about running 24 hours a day and then blaming the truckers for not moving their trucks around the country fast enough, and then wondering 5 to 10 years from now, why are all the truckers all robots?
Right.
That's what drives me nuts. We complain enough. These industries will find a way to take these jobs away. And then we're wondering what's going to happen to our workforce then.
It was so crushingly depressing to see how this is done and to realize how long the United States in these cities has sat on their hands. And then you hear places like Rotterdam where it's state of the art facilities that they have invested billions in. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that bipartisan legislation is passed to maybe upgrade certain things.
So
we'll see what happens. But man, the finger pointing, and then the guy that managed that port with his little smirk, with his little smile,
there. Every cliche.
That
well,
guy,
obviously, we're going to have to double down.
Shut up,
that
you
guy,
douche.
And also the guys that have figured out a way to profit, like they've got these people that are delivering toys and little tchotchkes from Japan that can't be
delivered
because they're in a stack of crates, and so the people are not getting their merchandise. Then they're being charged for storage because they can't be delivered. It's like
incredible.
It's mind blowing.
And imagine being in the White House, and you're getting grilled every day.
Hold on, let me do that for a second,
please.
All right, hold on. Wait a minute. Let me just do that. Okay. All right. May I have a chicken salad sandwich, please? All right, go ahead.
You have a shark sandwich.
I thought you said
any spicy
shark steak.
Hot dog.
Hot dog. So as Oscar was saying, imagine you're in the Casablanca.
So you get you're the Biden administration, and you're getting all these hot calls, and you're like, I can't. Like you're trying to do everything you can to move what is run by a city, not by the federal government. At what point do you say, F it, we're moving along?
Yeah.
We're taking it away.
Oscar mentioned Google or Amazon or something like that. You know,
off air, we were talking about this. They said, why don't they just say, hey, Google, we'll give you a sweet deal on this. take your billions, build a better system, and then we'll give you tax incentives for till the day the cows come home.
Mm-hmm. What's amazing to me is that we cruised along without any knowledge or concern about this for so many years until they started stacking up ships outside the port, and no one really knew that this was I'm sure there were certain people that we didn't see any on that particular report that were raising the alarm about the fact that this was coming, but COVID showed exactly what the flaws are in our system, and we're dated, we're antiquated as far as
also
stuff.
And by the way, there are repercussions down the line, just environmentally. If you think about that oil spill that happened right off Orange County, right in mm-hmm. the water from some sort of anchor for a pipe that was just laid down like it's cable.
Yeah, it was a pipeline that was cut by an anchor because there were so many ships coagulating out there in the port.
One of the most beautiful places in the U.S. Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's even anything like that blows my mind.
And I came away from that 60 Minutes report saying, if you've got so many different people that are pointing fingers at other people, this ain't going to be fixed anytime soon.
We
got
to come in like they do in some other countries and say, you can't have nice things. We're going to take it away.
You had your chance.
Yeah.
You had your chance. Obviously, everyone's upset.
And
the dogs are very upset about this.
Well, they didn't get their toys from China.
Don't you think they could have taken those containers off those big rigs and said, hey, we'll make you square.
How about I put Frankie on one of those containers? Frankie, shut up.
And just let's store them at a public storage. Put them somewhere where there's a big field. Who cares?
A big field.
You know what? I will tell you this, that ultimately I have faith in dogs. Thank you.
I just feel like there's a bunch of fat cats sitting around being like, now 60 Minutes is on us.
Yeah.
We actually got to do something now. Everyone's looking at us.
Yeah, when Oscar talks about other countries, like the countries where they bring the military down, it's like, click. Hey, how about you get this done?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to see somebody like with maybe a military weapon at that guy's back and go, you think maybe you could fix this today?
The guy with the gray hair says, you know what? Now that I have a gun in my back, I don't care so much about color coding the containers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's sad. It's very sad. And it dovetails into when I heard about the people that were making the money on this.
Oh my God.
That we're all rubes. And if you want to watch a program about the opioid crisis that brings it home and where this all came from, and how unimaginably corrupt the pharmaceutical business was when it came to OxyContin, I want everybody in this audience, and I've never recommended anything higher, to watch the movie, miniseries, I should say, Dope Sick with Michael Keaton.
This is Hulu, right?
It is Hulu.
What's the subject matter? The
subject matter is the advent of OxyContin to the marketplace under the guise of being less than 1% addictive, which was a complete ruse and sham. And this particular program exposes every inch of the corrupt pharmaceutical relationship with the FDA. Mm. These institutions that we have forever thought of as unencroachable and uncorruptible. It is absolutely stunning. And then when you talk about the nature of being able to label something as less than 1% addictive, that in effect is horrifically addictive, life-destroying stuff, poison in many cases that these people have gone through. And everybody knows the opioid crisis. We hear about it.
Yep.
This is something that really shows you where it started. And you know where it started? It started in areas where the people could be exploited, where the hardest working, most pain suffering people in America lived, in Appalachia, in the state of Maine, where I have family and friends, in poor places where people work hard. And it's just stunning what that drug can do to people, and they were able to slide and get away with this. And what starts out, in my opinion, with the Sackler family, those are the people that owned Purdue Pharma, where you get the impression that perhaps they really are trying to make something better when it's really all dollars and cents. And man, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this. It'll be clear to you how it went down, and based on true stories with real names. And I just cannot believe that, you know, as I get older, I realize that really, are we making our own decisions? And sometimes I say we're really not. We buy what we're told to buy. We go where we're told to go. We do what we're told to do. And everybody does it at the same time. And it really is stunning how much faith we put in large business, large institutions, in the federal government. And it's really, it's mind-numbing how it happens.
Do you think
it's called Dope Sick on Hulu. I think it's an amazing piece of
television. Did the problem begin when the big business and big government realized they had the power to steer us?
No, I think this is as old as time. I think the rich have been doing it to the poor forever. Mm. I think the people that, we think that there are rules, and we think that just because somebody's got a bottom line and a lot of money in the bank, that they're going to behave the right way. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. And keep your eyes open, because it's just, it might be us as a species. I don't know. Might be the United States, might be our system that lends itself to this. But man, oh man, when you think about it, you know, I'll be honest with you. It was probably 5 years ago that I became aware more than I've ever been. Thought about corruption, thought about people taking advantage of other people, people lying, people stretching the truth. But you look at this and you go, how many companies are involved in this kind of crap, and how much of this corruption? And unfortunately, the standard operating procedure, the way I look at it, when you talk about Washington, D.C., is people that are in charge of regulating a certain industry end up going into that industry to give the private sector, and their salaries get doubled.
Yep.
That's how is that ever going to help people? How is that going to protect people? But OxyContin. And, you know, as you guys know, opioids affected my family very, very, very directly with my daughter, Catherine, when she lost her boyfriend to an overdose. I will tell you, and I'm going to do more research on it. It's not just watching a television program, but it was my daughter who recommended this. My daughter, Catherine, who lived it, who watched this. And it's stunning. And it's all about, you know, we got it all over the world now with poor communities, with people and Oxy. It's regulated now. I mean, the cat's out of the bag as far as how addictive it
is. How many lives did it destroy, though?
Just amazing. I'm running way the hell over now. I'm sorry, Rob.
That's all right.
We got to take a break. But watch it. Dope Sick, please write to me. Let me know what you think of it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And there are people that know more about this issue than I do. I'm just giving you a recommendation, and it's out there, you know. And man, oh man. Trust no one. That's all I can say. How's that for a happy Monday story? We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. You're listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
If you missed the latest bonus show, you missed a lot.
And if we stand on it,
we stand behind it.
And poop, 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 poop.
My mom likes to flash it in the oven.
I like Thelma Lou.
In what way?
No, I think she's hot.
Rest your meat.
Well, if we can't do it right, we shouldn't do it.
The TMOS Bonus Show is your only chance to get that fifth hour of laughs, and it's sent to your device every Friday. Try a week, a month, or splurge for an entire year subscription. Your support keeps that comedy train chugging. Click the Bonus Show banner, get a subscription, and start laughing now. It's all at MikeOmeraShow.com.
Thank you, Jim Abbato. I appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Solo Stove. There is nothing like the feeling of a wonderful gathering around a warm fire. And we even have it down now in West South Florida.
You're in the sweet spot weather-wise, yeah. Right?
It's terrific. Cool evenings, smokeless fire pit. Solo Stove makes it even better. Instead of having to constantly dodge campfire fumes, you smell like a dumpster fire. You can sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire. And this year, you can shop Solo Stove's Black Friday sale early. Get great deals on a Solo Stove fire pit from November 11th through the 18th. Enjoy the mesmerizing flames. all the opportunities to create more good moments and lasting memories. Solo Stove fire pits are brilliantly engineered, made with premium grade 304 stainless steel and a 360-degree airflow system that maximizes efficiency while minimizing smoke. I love how it unpacks in seconds, and it's ready to go. How easy is that?
How great is
that? It's easy to light, too. It's fantastic. Take Solo Stove with you. Go to your friend's house during the holidays. Shop Solo Stove's best deals of the year early from November 11th through the 18th. Actually, through the 18th, because the 11th is in back of us.
Yes.
So we might want to modify that.
Well, they wanted to let you know there was a limited-time offer.
Limited.
Yeah, I know. 11th is not even relevant anymore.
Right.
I said the 11th. I'm saying, well, I missed that. But it is through the 18th. And what's today's date? This is the 15th.
Yes.
So the 15th through the 18th.
Do
it. I might have come to rehearsal and changed that. Plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns. That's $10 off the early Black Friday sale at solostove.com. Promo code TMOS. Do we even have time for it? We haven't renamed this. Tomorrow we have to...
Who's at the beginning
of the show tomorrow, we have to name this thing that we do.
I'm Pat Neely, and it's time to save to win, baby.
He's just visiting.
Alive.
He's just visiting, but Mike,
young buck.
He's not alone. He has other things with him.
Family Dollar AA batteries. Family Dollar bowls. Family Dollar flex straws. Family Dollar stainless steel scours. Family Gourmet cream of celery soup. Family Gourmet jalapeno slices. Family Gourmet raisin bran. Family Gourmet whole kernel corn. A toy helicopter. Family Gourmet prunes.
I miss that show. That was such a great show.
Such a short run. Not fair.
Really, I think only 8 episodes, but every one a classic.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to know all those wonderful products they have at Family Dollar stores.
And remember, if it was like a drugstore, it was Family Health. But Family Dollar Health.
And if it was food, it was Family Gourmet.
Exactly.
Family Gourmet prunes.
Now, I always tend to forget that the big Christmas tree at 30 Rockefeller Center is a cut tree.
Yes.
It's not a living tree that they decorate every year. And they took delivery this year. Mike, as a Christmas tree salesman, this is mind-boggling. A 79-foot Norway spruce from Maryland.
79 feet.
That's like 8 stories tall.
We initially said, no, you can't have our tree. But ultimately came to the right decision that this is the right destiny for it and the proper place
for it. Stop for a second. I'm on the kick. Okay. I'm on the kick. You didn't come to the right decision. They offered you enough money
for it.
Exactly. That's what it was. We ultimately came to the right decision. Yeah.
And
we hacked down the beautiful thing of nature, chopped it up so it could be sitting in the middle of a stinky city with people farting on it.
Come fart on the tree at 30 Rock. That's the Al Roker special this year.
It's an optimistic Monday.
It's Al Roker's fart on the Christmas tree special.
That's right.
It's life and
family.
We're very
Go ahead, Ari. Keep playing.
Proud that it will be used as mulch in the gardens and parks in New York City, and then ultimately the trunk will be milled for lumber and donated to Habitat for Humanity.
Well, that's good.
What a better destiny for a beautiful tree.
But I do like it early in the fact he says we decided to let them kill it.
What about?
Well, it's true.
I know.
Think about this. Last year, wasn't there like a virtual lighting? Because you couldn't even gather in New York City.
I think New York was verboten during the holidays last year. Yeah,
all right. This is, we occasionally do a mashup. I want to get this on because this was trending over the weekend. Sometimes musically mashups work, but sometimes content works as well. This is a perfect marriage of the two. Phil Collins and Michael Jackson. This sounds like it was meant to be.
Do you remember?
Feel about it.
I think it sounds like a real duet. I think it. I would listen to
it. It's interesting. I know it's almost there.
Yeah.
Not, but you know, it's a mashup, so it's hard to.
If you didn't know who they were and you heard those two voices,
you probably say this pretty high.
Yeah, you wouldn't think about it.
Yeah. And let's close with this, Mike. If you haven't watched Saturday Night Live this weekend, you must not watch it.
Was it a clink?
Oh,
a clinker!
It's a clinker!
All right.
But I do have one good joke for you because it is I do like Weekend Update still. And
I always still do, too. And I was somebody who thought both those guys, I reamed that out the first time. They're funny.
They're
and
great.
I think they do good shtick together.
I love
really
their
do.
Shtick together. Anyway, this is a hot seltzer news, Mike, as you get ready for the holidays.
Bud Light is releasing a carbonated eggnog flavored drink called Seltzer Nog. If you want a preview of the taste, throw up in your mouth.
That's your digital dumpster, which will be renamed tomorrow.
I like that joke. They're still getting it done. Hey, don't forget, Black Friday, that's the deadline
yes.
for Fruitcake Futures.
November 26th.
This is usually when we sell most of our fruitcakes this week. So this is the week we'd like you to really, really,
please,
really go
please,
for
please.
It. And remember, buy 30 of them, and I will be chatting with you on Christmas Eve.
Will you wear a sweater?
My name is Mike O'Meara. I'll wear a sweater. I'll FaceTime you.
No. Just a phone call.
I will FaceTime with a sweater, with a Christmas sweater. No, I don't know what I'll wear, but I will FaceTime people.
Okay.
I will.
Zoom is hot. Is hot.
Maybe I'll Zoom. Don't get bogged down with details. By 30. Fruitcake Futures at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Please. Please help. Please. We got to get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow with a brand new show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Aloha.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
Make good choices.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.